verdad que justo lo hizo.
We're back with Voices from the Frontline, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Damon Azali with Eric Mann, and we are being joined on the phone right now by Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Congresswoman, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so very much for having me this afternoon.
Definitely. We hear that you have you only for a couple minutes because you're about to go to an event.
I can tell you that this, when members are home in their district, they're sort of moving from place to place. But this really is an enormously important debate and discussion, and I thank you, both of you, and, of course, Los Angeles and around the country, for raising it to a level of importance.
So just a quick hit. A lot of times people are talking about the two political sides of the immigration debate is the McCain-Kennedy on the more liberal progressive side and then the Sensenbrenner bill on the more right-wing conservative side. But not a lot of people know that actually one of the most progressive bills that was put out by the congresswoman we have on the phone that is talking about the DREAM Act so people can actually go to school, eliminating penalties for people who have fake documents, and I think even most importantly, amnesty for individuals who are here who don't have papers. So I guess the couple questions that I think on the top of the list is based on your bill, one, where is it at this point? And then two, where is the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus in supporting it?
Well, thank you very much, and thank you very much for meticulously studying the bill. Might I also say, though it is not in the bill, that I'm also a proponent for increasing the minimum wage so that everyone who is a worker can have a better quality of life, and also a provision that I think is very important. It really speaks to the concept of minorities who are already in this country, particularly African Americans and also Hispanics, is the question of using the fees that would come about through legalization for the idea of job training, job creation, outreach, and the general protection of American workers. Because what has occurred is that this is a bill that seems to thrive, or an issue that thrives on pitting one unempowered group against another. I'm very gratified to know that I was very glad to have the support of the Hispanic Caucus Immigration Task Force. The chairperson, of course, is Luis Gutierrez. We've been working very closely together. Members of the Congressional Black Caucus, so many of them are co-sponsors of this bill, and so I generally have the support of both these organizations, and I say that through their members. We've taken no pronounced statement, and many times we do not take it on individual bills. We do it on policy. And clearly, I believe that this is an issue that the Hispanic Caucus and Congressional Black Caucus have had the opportunity to work together. But I think there are two elements, and that I'm glad that you're raising. The face of the debate on national media has been the Sensenbrenner bill and McCain-Kennedy, which is a good bill, but what they have done is they failed to promote faces like Luis Gutierrez on the national debate, Sheila Jackson Lee, who's been the ranking member on immigration for six years, to talk about how we can come together to put a reasoned face, a reformation of the immigration system on the table. Now we have a divisive fight about who's building a wall, who's not building a wall, whose job is being taken by the immigrant, rather than the debate should be cast as both Hispanics and African Americans could do, which be to cast it as a civil rights issue and a humanitarian issue. If we can get Americans to understand that this is a humanitarian issue and a civil rights issue, not who can build the biggest fence, not who can say that your jobs are being taken by immigrants who've come here for an economic opportunity. So my anguish, and somewhat anger, is that the national media, short of great stations like yourself, have left this debate to be divisive. They have not sought to find ways to be supportive. And that has happened in the United States Congress. The Republican Congress did not allow the Save America Comprehensive Immigration Bill to get not only a hearing but a vote. It did not allow the McCain-Kennedy bill.
So it wasn't even put on the floor.
In the House. So none of our bills, other than the Sensenbrenner bill, were able to get any kind of hearing in the United States House of Representatives. So the face of immigration came only through the Sensenbrenner bill. We have to break that chain. We have to break those shackles. We've got to be able to say to the President of the United States, you claim to be supportive of this whole question of immigration, but you've yet to call members like Luis Gutierrez, Sheila Jackson Lee.
So Congresswoman, just because I know I have it just you for a little bit, I mean, you said something around how the Congressional Black Caucus, you said members are supporting the bill, and I think that that's kind of the little crevice that I want to get in, both on in terms of the Congressional Black Caucus, but then also your constituents, because I know that your district is part Latino and part Black. And so what are the things that you are struggling with in terms of those Congressional Black Caucus members who didn't support the bill, and your constituents who say, follow the line of the mainstream media that say, hey, they're taking our jobs. What's your pushback against that?
Well, let me say that I take issue with your interpretation.
Okay.
There are members of the Congressional Black Caucus supporting the bill, and there's no one who said to me that they're not supporting the bill. Members get on bills and don't get on bills, not by their own decision, but by whether their staff puts them on, whether they come to their attention. So let me clarify that immediately. I have no one who is saying to me that they are a member of the Congressional Black Caucus and they're opposing the bill. I don't have a dilemma in my district, frankly, to be very honest with you,
Okay. Because
I speak the same to both constituencies, and that is I speak to the constituency that is African-American. I tell them that I want them to have jobs, I want them to have equal rights, I believe in their civil rights, and I want an increase in the minimum wage, and I want their jobs protected. I likewise speak to, if you will, the Hispanic community as well, that are not only strong in my own district, but they are strong, if you will, in the area here. And, of course, as you well know, I marched last Monday. And so to them I say that I'm looking forward to them having earned access to legalization, the Dream Act. I don't really have a dilemma. That's the key that I'm saying. Let our voices get to the forefront, if you will, and if our voices, and I include the Hispanic caucus, where we can talk about resolving this issue in a way that makes all of us whole, you'll have a different kind of debate. The reason why it's so divisive is because you cannot hear our voices. They like to hear the fence builders' voices and the take our jobs away voices, and it's also mischaracterizing the viewpoint of the African-American community. Yes. Some have bought into the negativism of the idea that jobs are being lost because immigrants are here, rather than hearing what many of us have been saying about the larger civil rights issue, and that we can make, if I might use this term, lemonade out of lemons. More jobs for African Americans, opportunities to increase minimum wage, a job training that will come about with millions and millions of immigrants putting money into the federal budget, our federal revenue, and using those dollars specifically for job training in inner city and rural. I believe we have a solution. The question is whether or not the mainstream, and I should not say, but the debate that is being pictured on the front lines of American media includes us, and whether the House of Representatives and the Senate allows a debate to be crafted around people who have a solution as opposed to people who think it's a problem.
Well, Congresswoman, just to get a little bit more into the question that I asked, I think there's kind of, as an organizer, I understand that there's a difference between people signing on or it coming to folks' attention, and I think that that's one thing. And then I think there's another level of advocating. So as you were on the front lines of the march, you're an advocate. You put out one of the most progressive bills on immigration, one of the biggest issues that is here in this country right now. And so I guess more when I was talking about the Congressional Black Caucus is there's some who might sign on, but they're not pushing those demands. And if I even moved found the kind of bridge between the immigration debate and then stuff around Katrina and the aftermath of Katrina, I think there are also people who are on the front line who are demanding change and having Black-centered demands, and there are other ones who are kind of just on, you know, would sign on and whatnot. So that's more of what I was talking about, is how are you, even as one of the more progressive people, trying to move the people to actually, instead of just sign on, get out there and march?
Well, I think I cannot speak for individual. For all I know, they might have all been marching all over the nation. I can't speak to whether they were there marching as well or not, but I will return back to Washington. We'll be gathering in a press conference to express our support, and I don't feel in any way diminished or that there is a support by the members of the Congressional Black Caucus or Democratic members or Hispanic members. I think you will find that there is an energy there. And, of course, there's a question of whether or not that energy is being shown because media, unfortunately, is selective. But my advocacy is clear, and I work with an immigration task force of the Congressional Black Caucus, selected by the chairman of that caucus. Didn't have to do that, didn't have to have a task force. Members are in their respective districts advocating. They're getting information, and they're also joining in on expressing themselves individually. We hope to have a press conference when we return back to Washington to move this ball along, to challenge the president as to why he's not convened a meeting in the White House of Democrats and Republicans and other advocates to craft legislation that is not divisive. When I say craft, take good pieces of the legislation on the table that is reasonable, McCain-Kennedy, Save America, Comprehensive Immigration Bill, and really use his political capital to make something happen. We are thwarted, not by Congressional Black Caucus members or Hispanic Caucus members or Democrats. We're thwarted by a Republican-controlled House and Senate and a Republican White House that really wants to talk and absolutely do nothing. And so we hope to ensure that we can do something and do something good, and that is, of course, to move this ball along, to show the diverse faces, to also say that immigration is not only a issue between African Americans and Latino, but it is of Africa, it is of Southeast Asia, it's of South and Central America, it's Canadians, it's Europeans, it is the world. And the world that is in America, meaning that the diverse immigrant population in America, must diversely deal with this question. I'm prepared to do so. The question is the president and this Republican Congress prepared to do so?
Okay, Congresswoman, I guess we're on the phone with Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, and I guess I wanted to ask one more question that's on a slightly different topic. Before I leave that, can you tell us the number of the bill and the name of the bill that you actually proposed?
Absolutely. Save America Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill, H.R. 2092. Get on the website, get a copy of it, send your email to your members of Congress. By the way, procedurally, obviously the Senate has done nothing. But because the bill will be different from the House, there will be a conference. And the issue is whether the conference will be broad enough to include more diverse members of the Congress. Right now, it looks like there may be no opportunity for any Hispanic or African American to be on the conference that will decide the ultimate decision of immigration reformation. I think that is obscene.
So I guess the last question that I wanted to kind of put towards you is a couple weeks ago, one of your sisters, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, had an arrest warrant out for her based on her coming into the House and altercation with the security guard, the police officer. And at that point, she came out pretty strongly saying, you know, it was racial profiling, that this was wrong, et cetera. And then when she actually came out with a statement, it was definitely not as strong as she originally had it. And I know that you were one of the people who were at the press conference with her and actually talked about, not at the press conference, but in terms of your website and whatnot, you've talked about certain issues in terms of racial profiling. And so I guess my question to you is, what were the things that you saw in terms of her changing her statement? Was there pressure from the Democratic Leadership Council not to put race or put gender on that front of a burner? Or what was your sense of that?
Let me just say that I think it was a slightly different interpretation. Of course, her statement was made on the floor of the House, and it was made because Congressman McKinney felt that she wanted to clarify what had happened. And hold 1 second, please.
So, just for you guys, when we get off the phone with
I am here. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm traveling throughout my district. But I think it was a little different. As I said, she made a statement on the floor of the House. she made the determination. Certainly, we had an opportunity to meet with her, members of the Congressional Black Caucus, of which she encouraged us to do. But really, the idea was that she wanted to focus not on excluding her previous comments, but she really wanted to focus on getting past, and I don't think the warrant was issued, I think there was rumor thereof, but in any event, to getting past clouding the fact that it was an unfortunate incident, that she was big enough as a member of Congress to recognize the validity and value of the Capitol Police, and she wanted to make an impersonal apology. It's not finished, I assume. There will be some more investigation, some more study, and I think Congressman McKinney will speak for herself as it relates to her views and my views on racial profiling continue to be maintained. I think it's a question of when you utilize that explanation, and she chose at the time of her apology not to utilize it then. I think she'll speak for herself as to whether she continues to raise issues like that, but what we want now is to move beyond maligning the congresswoman when we have, as you well know, you know what I'm going to say, a violent war in Iraq, a funding problem in terms of the needs of America, a failing Department of Defense, and a administration, obviously, that is insensitive to many of the needs of the disenfranchised in this country, including the Katrina survivors. And you know the Congressional Black Caucus took a major lead with our legislation and our constant going back and forth to try to remedy their crisis. So we think that this is a distraction. We think that this was accelerated by those who wanted to take away from the fall of Tom DeLay that very same week, and we don't think it is an issue that warrants the attention that it has been given.
Well, just to say, we've had Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney on the program, and it wasn't
excellent.
I wasn't saying that I thought that she wasn't taking a stand in terms of what she was actually saying and whatnot. I guess my thing was more that I know that it's a very complex situation to be black and to be a woman and to be a representative. And we can see if you come down to, like, you know, South Central where I live, and you can see how black women are treated, how black men are treated, et cetera. And I think more that I've seen the history of what's happened with the Democratic Party and in Congress, there's been a real push against not putting forth the fact that folks are black and that people are being oppressed because they're black and that people don't have homes in New Orleans because they're black. And I'm not saying that that was, I mean, I think Cynthia McKinney, we've already always said we would love to see Cynthia McKinney run on a ticket for, you know, in 3 years or whenever the next presidential election is. But I think that it's just a real important thing that we don't lose the fact of that we are actually representing black people and the black people's demands that we need to put forward. And I think the racial profiling on that level gives weight and credence to it that happens on the kind of grassroots everyday level where it's usually not seen and whatnot. So,
well, let me say this. You have three outstanding members of Congress that certainly don't mince their words in California, Representative Waters, Representative Watson, and Melinda McDonald, and I know that they speak those issues very clearly. We're not running away from that. I understand what you're saying. I don't think that she has, if you had her on, she's spoken for herself as it relates to the question of racial profiling. Racial profiling is a very large issue, very sensitive issue. We will never step away from that battle, and I don't know who you may have been speaking to, but none of us have stepped away from the fact that race was a factor in Katrina. I certainly have not. I serve on the on the Homeland Security Committee, and certainly I've not stepped away from that issue, and I appreciate you continuing to raise it. We want to mend lives and rebuild lives, and we're trying to do that, but we're not trying to deal with this as it is. I have to go into another event. We've got some issues that we're working on here in Houston, and I'm just delighted to be able to be with you, and I hope that I'll be able to come back again.
All right, we'd like to thank you for joining us on the show, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
Excellent question. Thank you.